Nebraska Untapped, the source for everything educational and informational about groundwater in agriculture. If you are an ag producer or a citizen of Nebraska, this show is made for you by the Middle Republican Natural Resource District.
Now it's time for our weekly show, hosted by Heather Disming.
Hey everyone, welcome to this week's edition of Nebraska on Tap. This week I've decided to bring on a guest who is going to talk to us a little bit about gardening and landscaping in your own yard and not a really big yard and not growing fruit or vegetables or anything like that. Just straight up land vegetation. So I'm on the GIS geography website right now taking a look at everything, and you can really see how the rain and precipitation varies throughout the whole entire state of Nebraska. In the panhandle, you have that 15 to 20 inch range. Then you go through the middle of the state and you have that 20 to 25 inch range. And then as you get to the edge of the state before you get into Iowa and Missouri, you have the 25 to 35 inch range. And now the guest that I'm bringing on today is in a more arid part of the country. So she's in Colorado. And I brought her on to talk a little bit about how she copes with the water issues and how she plants native plants. They have a little bit more regulations on watering the lawns out there, and they kind of want everybody to change from turf into something a little bit more water suitable for the area so that they're not so water stressed and your yard still looks really nice. Then you can go to the Drought Monitor, which is going to be droughtmonitor.unl.edu. So this is something that the university puts out, and you can really tell a difference sometimes between 2 weeks. So with this one here, we can kind of see that Nebraska has a few shades of discoloration on it. One is yellow, one's kind of like a burnt orange, and then the other one is orange. And so these mean abnormally dry, moderate drought, and then the D2 severe drought. And then, you know, we see places like Iowa, which, you know, on this drought monitor is really cool because you can flip all the way back to last year and you can kind of see how things have changed within a year. You know, then we have Iowa up there who usually is pretty hydrated in a red color. So like I said, I brought her on today to talk to us about how she is helping the customers that she has have a nice yard, nice looking yard, but without all that water use. So let's get into that interview right now.
My name is Nicole Gibson. I'm currently living in Golden, Colorado, but I'm originally from Kennesaw, Nebraska. As a kid, I spent a lot of time around Harlan County Lake, playing in the woods and exploring all of nature that surrounds it. And I've always been fascinated with plants at a young age. It all started when I was working alongside my mother in the garden. We would do seeding, I'd help her do weeding, and we would harvest produce. I'd like to say that's where my love for plants and the outdoors began. I feel so lucky to work in an industry that allows me to work with the ground and express my creativity. And even more exciting, this year I started my own gardening company called Gibson Garden Co. Whoop, whoop.
That's awesome.
I have a strong passion for working with Colorado native plants. And most of my designs are water-wise and pollinator-friendly. Honestly, anything to attract more bees and butterflies and hummingbirds. I'm so excited to see what this year brings. The least I can do is just educate homeowners and like-minded people about the importance of working with nature, not against it. My company is herbicide and pesticide free. And in my free time, you'll probably catch me outside wandering through the woods, climbing the side of mountains, or trail running. Again, anything that allows me to get outside and enjoy the sunshine.
Well, thanks, Nicole. We're so excited to have you on today and talk a little bit about your company and how water affects how you do business. So tell me a little bit about your previous work with landscaping.
So I started working for a company for the last 3 years. With the gardens that we worked with, they weren't so much pollinator gardens. I would say a lot of them are more annual plants. So a lot of that, you know, is more like thirsty and doesn't thrive as well in these climates. And so I think a lot of that work drew me into wanting to start my own business because I had a vision of wanting to work, you know, with our ecosystems more and be a little more water wise and start to plant more perennials and that sort of work. And so, you know, it was all beneficial working for her and whatnot, but I did decide that there was a lot that I wanted to change about, you know, that way of doing a garden. And so that's what brought me into starting Gibson Garden Co. this year.
Yeah. And so how does the climate or the water controls in your area, along with the size of the area, affect the plants that you pick for that area?
You know, the climate here is dry and arid, and we don't have a lot of rainfall. And so keeping in mind when picking out plants, you know, it's the soil here is mostly clay. Clay can be super tough to grow in. So we amend a lot of soil. You know, anything I put in the ground, I usually always start with a compost of sorts to provide some nutrients, because clay just waterlogs and then the roots don't get the oxygen they need to thrive.
It's challenging
to garden here.
Yeah. Is there like a certain place where you purchase your compost, or do you hand make the compost?
Ultimately, I'd love to make my own compost. Previously, though, you know, just the local hardware store is usually a spot where we go and get the compost there. It's already pre-made, and, you know, compost can also have really high pHs, so it's important to make sure that it, you know, had its time to soften before you put it onto any roots. And so I think that's probably the more challenging part about having your own compost, is making sure it's all ready to be amended.
So if the pH of the compost is high, what usually is like the pH of clay, just out of curiosity? Like, how do they mix well, or do you have to really baby them both?
Clay is alkaline, and so, you know, it's a higher pH.
Mm-hmm.
Around like 7 to 8. Compost, I think, is a little more acidic. And so they do kind of contrast each other and can neutralize. And I think they say it's usually a couple years before you can use your compost to where it won't like burn your roots.
Okay.
And so I think it's just a form of like, you know, the sun breaking it down and the wind breaking it down and water, you know, making the nutrients kind of flow through and getting rid of that harsh stuff to where it's able to be amended then.
Yeah, the breakdown process.
Yeah.
And so when you do it, do you dig through the clay, then you add the compost, and then you kind of build the plants within that? Do you put any like drip tape in, or is it more like natural watering?
You know, depending on the plants that we're using, you know, Colorado's big on water-wise plants, and that's kind of the direction we're going right now.
Okay.
I could elaborate on that. It's a whole other subject, but... You know, I'll usually take a hoe or, you know, a trowel of some sort, break up the soil real good, and then take a couple handfuls of compost and then amend it together. And, you know, it'll form this nice fluffy feel, and you won't see the big clumps of the clay anymore. It's when you know it's good to put a plant in. And at that point, you know, you want to water in really good, make sure all of the amendments have been worked together and it's draining through well and there's no water log in your plant. So...
Yeah. And I mean, out here, we're kind of clay in some parts, but being able to have water consistently is something that clearly has been a little bit far and few between if you look at the drought monitor here for us. So I know you guys are still a little higher up, but, you know, it's great to have some of that extra information for us down here where the soil can vary from sandy or clay, but also the water limitations can happen here too, just like they happen up there. So it's really great information from you on, you know, mixing that compost with some of the soil to help the roots being able to get into the ground better. So what does your precipitation look like there?
Yeah, they say it's 15 inches a year here. And because we're so high up, a lot of it evaporates. You know, we get a foot of snow and that only turns into maybe a half inch to an inch of water. So a lot of people think, well, you know, Colorado gets a lot of snow. There's tons of moisture, but it evaporates before it even goes into the ground most of the time. So, you know, I do have a winter watering program through my business as well. And that's really important as the irrigation systems get shut off in September, getting ready for the first freeze, and then they don't get water again all the way up till, you know, middle of May till it's safe to turn it on again. And so I implement a program to go through people's properties every week and check soil and give everyone a little drink if they're needing it. And so that's a thing here, unfortunately. You know, the water is scarce.
I mean, that makes sense. You know, people with crops, or like you said, with annuals, you just pull out the annuals and you don't have to worry about whether they drink or not drink any water because you're just going to replant them again in the springtime. So whatever, right?
Yep. Much shorter lifespan for those little guys. Our perennials, we got to keep them alive every season. So, and trees too. Trees are super important. And shrubs, I mean, that's a big thing, actually. You know, people don't think about that, especially newly planted stuff. You know, it's really important to keep that root system thriving and getting the nutrients it needs to be able to bud out and have lateral growth for the next year. So,
and then how has starting your own business been, like researching different growing zones and water issues? And then just how do you handle those challenges?
You know, like I had said kind of earlier on, I do have a lot of passion for pollinator gardens. I think it's really important to cater to our bees and our butterflies and our hummingbirds. And, you know, those typically seem to be the more water-wise plants, the plants that have been here for thousands, millions of years. And they, you know, started to thrive with no, you know, good soil conditions. And so, you know, just is taking a play off of that and using those plants that already have adapted to the climates over long periods of time. So I am really wanting to implement that this year. Colorado has a lot of incentives through each city, you know, like Westminster and Aurora and, you know, various places. They accommodate you and will actually pay for the plants and to have your turf ripped out and rock put in. Because we're trying to eliminate turf, you know, it's a big issue, you know, it's not sustainable. It takes a lot of water and water's scarce. And so, you know, my business is kind of working its way into being more of astroturf or rock gardens built with berms and mulch, or even just planting clover, you know, stuff that our bees love. You know, there's pros and cons of the rock and the astroturf. You know, it covers up any sort of vegetation that wants to come through, which kicks out all of our pollinators and our microorganisms underneath the ground. They can't thrive. They're not getting nutrients anymore. And so I do want to implement more ground cover type stuff just to keep the erosion down too. You know, once the ground can get water, then it can suck that up and we don't have as much stuff washing away. You know, like if you have rock, there's no absorption of the water. So this year I see myself probably putting a lot of rock in and trying to combat any sort of turf that we can.
No, that's great. And then, so also too, outside of gardening, you also garden some kombucha fermentation, right?
I do. Yeah, I'm very passionate about my kombucha. You know, it's all about the gut health and the microorganisms in it and the healthy bacteria and, you know, combating bad gut bacteria. And it's so easy. It's just sugar water and black tea, and in that fermentation process actually eats the sugar. So you're not getting a lot of sugar in your beverage. It's more of just like, oh, this is like an apple cider vinegar or something, but yeah. I do add some fruit juice in it to give it a little sweetness, but I do enjoy the process of it. It's so fun.
Yeah, I've tried to get some of the coworkers here to try it, and they just think I'm crazy, so try it with
maybe
friends.
It's more of a Colorado hippie thing. I don't know.
Maybe that's what happened to me, but I don't mind it. I think it's good. I think you, and I've seen your SCOBY. It's intensely large, and
it's a monster.
Yeah,
we call it the alien. So.
But I just had to get that in there because it's pretty fun. You know, you can garden in your soil, or you can garden in your SCOBY there. So, it's great.
I harvest it.
Yeah, harvest it every year. It's a perennial.
Yeah, it's an ongoing love for sure.
And then anything else you kind of want to add that you think is important about like water conservation and changing up your yard?
Yeah, I guess do your research. There's just so much information out there, and you know, just understanding the importance of reducing our water waste and understanding that the climate is changing, you know, day by day, and that's not going to reverse itself, unfortunately. So going forward, we need to choose plants that are able to adapt to these native lands and not, you know, put more ornamental plants in that don't really even fit this climate. People have high hopes of getting their California hibiscus to thrive here in Colorado, and it's just not going to happen. They take a ton of water, and, you know, they're probably not going to make it through the winter. So, you know, just being more wise on what we're putting in the ground and having a little back feed on the information of, you know, why we're doing that and the benefits of it. So,
no, yeah, I think that's great. And plus, not having turf also helps out with as many chemicals that you have to use to make it that green too. So that's also good for the environment.
My company is very against pesticides and herbicides. I use all organic fertilizing and I work with all ecosystems. If the plant is getting eaten by aphids, oh well, we don't spray it. It's just part of it, working with the ecosystems and not against it. So I'm passionate about that.
Yeah, well, I can probably harvest you some earwigs that you can take out there for those aphids. So,
yeah.
Oh, man. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah, there's ways around it organically, but, you know, for the most part, people like to spray, and that's not something I'm willing to do. So,
yeah, last year we let out a whole bunch of ladybugs in Sylvia's garden to get rid of all her aphids, and then she had a whole bunch of praying mantis bugs. So I think we should be taking care of this year. So
yeah, introducing more bugs. Heck yeah. And then the spring, it's a perfect time to get your clean up, get the leaves off of all the plants that are causing mold or pest issues. That's kind of my focal point right now, is just getting gardens cleaned up and getting ready for the summer ahead. So a lot to be excited about.
All right, perfect. Well, we'll let you get back to work. Thank you so much for joining us today, Nicole.
Thank you, Heather.
All right. So thank you, Nicole, again for being my guest this week and telling us a little bit about how you view gardening and how you deal with the issues that you have and how you bring those pollinators and make everything look pretty all at the same time. So thanks again. And again, if anybody wants to like and subscribe, you can go to our YouTube page. You can find us on our RSS feed. You can go to www.nebraskaontap.com. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts. And we are on our way out. And we will talk to everybody next week. So don't forget to get your gardens prepped for the springtime fun of growing coming up real soon. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.